You know what? We at Northgate on our team and our staff and with some of our sort of directors, we work very hard at trying to get ahead of things and trying to leave ourselves lots of time, but it very rarely turns out that way. And so Kyle was sending me messages till at least 1:30 in the morning, and then I show up here at 7:30 and he's already been here a couple hours. So I don't know when he sleeps, but we're thankful for all that everyone has poured into this church in so many different ways. So that you can be here, so that I can be here, and we can easily just know family, know friendship, and connect with Jesus. I also want to thank, don't we have awesome interns at Northgate? Oh, we're so thankful for our interns. Man, I'm so thankful for them. They're back now. They've been away. Some of them have gone back home where they're from, and they're all back now, and you can just feel the boost in life that comes when they're around. And even this week, we were saying, okay, we want to shoot this video. It's going to involve carrying a log, and that log will have been rained on and mudded on all winter long. And so who should we get to do that? Let's ask some people who are just incredible, mature Christians, because those are the people who are willing to serve in all circumstances. So we said, interns, ask them. And they just came and said, yeah, sure, we'll go and do that. They're in their regular clothes. Josh Clark was actually wearing my boots because he's in his pure white shoes, this mud. But they're all in, like, you know, you see Campbell in his white t-shirt and they're hauling the mud on. And it was I'll explain more about the video in a second. But then one of them got so muddy that we were driving along and we left the farm that we were at. We were crossing the condensery bridge, and this muddy guy named Campbell said, I'd jump in that water. I'd jump off that bridge right now. And so I stopped the van. I said, let's make all your dreams come true, Campbell. Let's go for it. I said, okay. He said, one of my New Year's resolutions is to be a man of my word. So I'm going to be integrity. So if I said I will, I will. And so they run out, and Campbell jumped off the condensery bridge. January 10th. Was it January 10th? January 10th, 2018. Sploosh. What a hero. Yeah, there you go. Full clap. Oh, it was awesome. Oh, stop it. You guys. Anyways, it was fun. It's fun. You know what? It's fun doing ministry and life with people. And I hope you know that's a big piece of it. Us cruising in the van together, filming a video, and then deciding to jump into a river. All of that is just because we want to build the kingdom together, and we're going to have fun while we do it. Hey, and so it's just cool to be part of that. That is team. That is what it's like being part of team. But we're doing this series for the next couple weeks, and we called it Goals. And at the beginning of the year, it makes sense to do a series called Goals, so that's why we're doing a series called Goals. All of us, you know, set our personal goals in different ways. Well, some of us don't, because we would never touch a New Year's resolution, but you know, it's always, okay, it's a fresh start, away we go, and we all think about our eating, you know, we're thinking about how much we read. So I had one person talk to me about their goals. They really realized they weren't reading enough, so they were going to start reading more. Some of us, it's just sleep. I need sleep this year. 2018, I'm going to get a good rest, you know. Or some of us, it's weight loss, or it's our devotions, or it's hair growth, or whatever it is. Maybe don't relate on that one, okay? Whatever it might be, we've all got sort of goals that we set. And sometimes, for some reason, we sometimes get in a place where we assume the church shouldn't have any goals. The church doesn't need any goals. We'll just rely on the Spirit, and the Spirit will just take us somewhere, and we'll do something, and it'll be great. But I want you to know that I actually have big goals for this church. I really believe that God is not finished with us. Sometimes when we're in the place that we're at, something like right now, where we've grown a lot in the last few years, we've seen a lot more involvement in the last few years. We've gotten to invest in our building a lot more. We've gotten to partner with more local community engagement pieces, more global pieces. We've gotten to do a lot of things. Sometimes we think, wow, Look how great we've done. That is amazing. This is so good. God is doing such awesome stuff. And then who knows what's in the future? Like, we'll just wait and watch what he's going to do. But I really believe God wants us to believe for more. That God wants to lay on our hearts that, yes, you have come this far. And yes, I have taken you this far. And yes, you have seen my hand work in miraculous ways. Yes, you have seen people set free from addiction. Yes, you have seen people come to know me as their Lord and Savior. Yes, you have seen many baptisms this year. Yes, you have seen all of those things. And I have done them in your midst. And I have grown the church. And yet, I will do more. I believe we're meant to hold on to that. I believe this year we're meant to believe that God wants to do more. I remember when I came on in this church, I sort of had maybe smallish dreams where I said, I want to be a church of 300 people. And it was pretty quick that we were a church of 300 people. I said, oh, that's amazing. We had all these stories of people coming to know Jesus, and it was just awesome. And then, well, let's believe for 400 people, and it wasn't too long before we were a church of 400 people. And so my last year, I was dreaming like, Lord, maybe could we have just one Sunday gathering when we'd have more than 500 people, and maybe could we have one Sunday gathering when we have 100 kids? Like, what if we could have 100 kids on one Sunday? And it's kind of wild what God ends up doing, because now that's almost the norm for us as a church, where last week we had 107 kids and 550 people here at the church, and that's just where we're at. Thank you, Lord. It's amazing to be part of that. When I was a kid, I lived in Williams Lake, and there was this one hike in my town. It was called Russet's Bluff. And I was going to hike that one time with my youth group, and I didn't know much about it. I didn't know much about hiking. I wasn't sure, but okay, sounds good. I'll go and be involved. And so we start hiking up this thing, and about like three steps in, I'm dead tired. I don't know if you've hiked much in your life, but if you have, you're crazy. But anyways, I'm sort of starting to go, and I'm tired in no time. But right off the get-go, you can see the peak at this thing. You can see where you're going to, and you're looking forward to what will the view look like from there, and what will this feel like to accomplish this. This will be so great. And so since you can see that goal ahead of you, you can push on, and you can give yourself to this thing. And so I did, and I pushed on, and I gave, and I worked hard, and I got a little bit closer, and finally we're just cresting the top of that thing. Like, yes, we made it. And right when you get to the crest of that thing, you look up and realize there's a new peak that you weren't able to see from the bottom. It's like, what is that? Like, how are we supposed to do that now? This is what I imagined. This is what I dreamt for. This is what I planned for. And I have accomplished this. I don't know if I can carry on. But of course, the group says, no, we're going to go for it. And so we climb up again, and we work hard. And I don't know even how I made it. But right as you're cresting the top of this thing, there's one more peak that you couldn't see from the bottom. It's crazy. I know, the groan. No one's even happy about this. Like, why are you telling this story? I don't like this. It's not nice. But it's just the worst. No one told me about what happens, but they say that happens to everyone. This looks like the top. Get to the next. That looks like the top. Get to it, and that looks like the top. I believe God would be calling us to that type of idea with our church. That we've climbed and we've pushed and we've believed and we've prayed for and we've expected and we've seen something special. And we sort of climb to the top, and the sense at the top is like, oh, look at all that we can see. Look at where we've been. Look at what's happened in our life and what opportunities we had to do and serve in the community, and how many people we had out to our Easter egg scramble. And look, wasn't that great? And I feel like God is saying, yeah, that was great. It's amazing. But would you turn around and look at the next peak? Because I want to keep you walking up. I want to keep you believing for more. I don't want you to settle down. I want to push you on. I want you to look to above there. Listen, as a church, as Northgate Foursquare Church, I really believe that God wants to see more people come to know him through this church this year. Do you believe that? I want to see people come to know Jesus. I believe it's the best thing for them. It's the best thing that they could have. I believe that's the peace and the hope and the life and the joy that is needed. We really believe at this church that Jesus is the answer. And so we want to see more people come to know him this year. And as more people come to know him, I also really believe that this church is meant to make a greater impact in the community. And not just a greater impact like running crusades, but I really believe that businesses should be thriving more because this church is thriving. And that people would know hope even in circumstances where they're not showing up to church because the church is thriving and the people are out in the city. I really believe that the city needs to be impacted because we're thriving. However, as we have these goals in our heart, as we dream for these things, as God puts dreams on our heart, it's easy for us to just say, okay, good, now God, do them, you know? Just take care of those, you know, take care of those goals. Let's see how they happen. It'll be nice to see it. We'll believe you too, God. And you know, we'll pray for it and we'll hope for it. But the reality is that if we want to be a church with goals, we need to be people with roles in that church, don't we? If we want to be a church with goals, we need to be people with roles, not cinnamon rolls. Well, that's an added bonus. I think we could do that on a Sunday morning or something, but we need to be people who are all carrying our piece of it. That if we're going to see the goals accomplished, that each of us has a part to play in that. That God didn't put any of you here by accident, that you're here to carry out what God has asked us to carry out. You're here to help us do what God is asking us to do. You're here to be the church, not just to have the church speak into your life, but to be the church and speak into the community of the Comox Valley. I really believe for that. If we want to be the church with goals, we need to be people with roles. There's this story in the Bible that I've been playing with all week as I led up to this Sunday and to this series. And it's this moment right after Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt. Now, if you don't know the story, Moses is this young man who's sort of part Egyptian, part Hebrew, part Israelite. And he's had to flee town, but then God calls him back to town and says, Moses, the Israelites have been enslaved for 400 years under the Egyptians, and it's time that something happens about that. So Moses, I'm rising you up to lead them. So Moses goes back to Egypt and starts calling out to Pharaoh and saying, listen, you need to let these people go. You need to let these people go. 400 years of slavery. Moses, eventually there's these plagues, there's this power of God, and then the Red Sea opens up once the Israelites are actually leaving Egypt. They walk through on dry ground, and in that very moment in the Bible, Moses' wife and father-in-law and kids come and see him. And so he's just been part of what's the most historically amazing, incredible, wild piece of biblical history that we see. And there he is, and his father-in-law comes. His father-in-law is named Jethro. And Jethro is introduced in the Bible as being a priest of Midian. And Midian is sort of a descendant also that came from Abraham, like Israel was. But Midian sort of went in a different route. Midian might have believed in the God of, the Midianites might have believed in the God of Israel, the God that was leading them, but also a number of other gods and a whole lot of things. And so here's the priest of Midian, the priest that represents many gods, right? The priest that represents a society or a people group or a way of thinking that would say there's lots of gods and lots of interactions that you can have. And here he's showing up to Moses, and Moses has just left Egypt where there were also many gods, one of those gods being Pharaoh. And the God of Israel said, no, there's one God. It's not Pharaoh. It's not anyone else. It's me. I'm the only one, and I will prove it. So Moses is just getting off that. Here he is in the wilderness, and Jethro shows up to him. It says in Exodus 18, 8 to 11, Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. And then he says this, now I know. I love that. He's about to tell him, now I know that your God is the God. He's the one and only. He's the true God. But now I know. What is it that he knows? He knows that God is God. How did he find that out? Because Moses told the story of what had happened in Moses' life. Moses told the story of what had happened in the Israelites' life. That they were living a story that was so inspirational that when someone showed up on the scene and wanted to talk to him, they could just tell the story and someone would know their God. They could tell the story and all of a sudden someone would recognize and know how powerful God was and how mighty God was and how incredible this power was. And I wonder when we read something like that, I wonder if we recognize how powerful of a story we're a part of right now. Because I don't know if you know how incredible it is that in this culture and in this society we have a growing church. I don't know if you know how incredible it is that here with all of the resources that are at people's disposal, we're seeing people set free from addiction by Jesus Christ alone. We're seeing people know him and find freedom. We're seeing people who have wanted nothing to do with faith come to know Jesus and say, I want to know him as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow him. We're seeing people that are from all sorts of different walks of life showing up randomly, which I know is not randomly, showing up to church and saying, I'm not sure why I'm here, but I just need some answers. I need to know who God is. In this culture, no one in the media, no one in our government, no one is saying, if you want answers, you need to go to church, you need to go to Jesus. And yet people are showing up and doing it. Yet we're seeing people all the time. Our church is growing. We've doubled in the last few years with people who say, Jesus is my God. It's not because of any other reason except Jesus is doing that work. He's showing up in houses. He's showing up in lives. He's showing up in marriages. And people's lives are being changed. And it's exciting when we recognize that. This morning I had someone after the first service say, okay, I need to share my story now. It was right when I was talking about this piece, she was hit by it. I remember a year and a half ago, I can remember her story when she came to faith for the very first time. And she had come out of addiction, out of brokenness, out of a messy life, out of a tragic situation with her family, out of her kids, her being totally alienated from her kids because of the decision she had made. And today she said, you know what? I've got an inspirational story. I don't know why I'm not telling it. We sometimes forget what God is doing. And Jethro shows up and Moses says, let me tell you what has happened. And when Moses tells him that, Jethro says, your God is the God. Amen. Wow. Jethro is so stirred up by that story. He says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. So then they go and they spend the day together and we don't really know what's happened with them at that point. But then Exodus 18, 13 to 23, it says, the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning until evening? You can imagine this feeling from Jethro, where he's just heard from Moses. He's just heard what Moses has had to say. Moses, what's going on? How are you not dead? You were just in Egypt and we said bye to you because we thought you were going to be dead because you were going to Pharaoh, the most powerful person in the known world, and you were going to tell him to let your people, who are all of his slaves, go, and you were going to go with nothing but a staff and a calling from God. We were sure you were going to be dead. Instead, you come back and you're knocking on our door and you have a couple million people with you because Pharaoh has said bye-bye. Not only that, but they've actually been swallowed up by the Red Sea, and you slaves are the people who are said to have done that to the Egyptians. Who in the world are you? I don't even know what's going on, but your God has got to be my God. He is the God. I need to check out what it's like to be an Israelite for a day. Can I come hang out with you guys? You know, can I come and be with you tomorrow? Can I come and just see what you do? You must all talk about the future and the dream. dreams and the passions and all the things that God is going to do in your life. You must sit around and believe for just incredible things to happen. Can I just come and sit with you tomorrow? That would be awesome. Say, yeah, sure. Come on, join us. Yeah, sure, Jethro. That'd be great. And Jethro's like sitting with Moses, and you can imagine the anticipation, right? What are they going to do? What's it going to look like? Like, who's going to first say the big dream? Who's going to remind everyone about the promise of the promised land? Which one of them is going to pray the first big prayer? When are we going to see some healing? When are we going to see some miracles? When are we going to see some incredible things happen? I can't wait to see what's going to happen. He sits there, he's like, what is it? And Moses sits down. A bunch of people stand around him and say, when am I next? When am I next? Because I have a problem with this person right here. And we need you to solve our problem. Moses says, okay, let me hear from God. You're right, you're wrong, give the money back. You're right, you're wrong, camel is actually his. That person, you're right, you're wrong. The ox gets cut in half, goes both ways, okay? You get some barley and sorry, that's not your house, that's not your wife, that's not your husband, that's not your kid, that's not your, okay, anyways, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, I'm going to bed. What an inspiring bunch of people, hey? You can imagine Jethro's like, I gave my life to the God that you were talking about yesterday. Like, I committed, I said he was the God of everything. Is this the best that you think you can do with the God of everything? Is this the best that can happen with Israel when you've got the God of everything who literally wiped out the most powerful people on the planet just a few little while ago for you? Is this the best you can do? I thought you had dreams and purpose and belief for great things. And Moses, are you really saying that you're the only person who can actually help anyone in this group? Is there no one else who can offer some assistance? No one else who can listen to a problem? No one else who can recognize God's plan and God's will? No one else who can serve in this community? What a waste of an incredible miracle. What a waste of an incredible salvation. What a waste to have all of these people standing around doing nothing while you all twiddle your fingers and battle each other. What about the goals that God has for you? Can imagine Jethro in that place. I was at the Calgary airport a bunch of years back. And I was waiting for my plane. It was in one of those back hallway, sort of dark kind of waiting spaces. And someone had just been sick on the floor. And everyone was like, you know how that happens. Everyone's like, they just saw an alien. Like, ooh. And like, where do I go? Should I not look at them? Are they okay? And no one's doing it. It's just the awkward moment. And the lady goes, I see her talking on the radio. And someone comes cruising along, a janitor comes cruising along with their cart and all decked out to deal with the problem, and they walk up to the thing, pull out a wet floor sign, put it down, they get on their radio. Someone else comes cruising down with a cart all decked out like that. I'm thinking, there's a mess on the floor, a bunch of people around awkwardly not knowing what to do with it. Eventually now we start lining up and everyone's sort of lining up around it like this and not knowing what to do. They get on the radio, a third cart comes down along. And the three of them start having a little committee meeting about what to do with this. And they're sitting there chatting with each other and then on the new radio, you can imagine them saying like, well, now whose job was this again? It's the fourth Saturday of the fifth month, which was, who's on puke duty? You know, which one of us was it? Was it that one? Oh no, that person has the least seniority and that person, which one of us is supposed to do this? And you look and you think, this is an absolutely ridiculous situation. Who are they hiring and why don't they just clean up the mess? You're looking like, why isn't someone just doing something here? It makes the airport look absolutely ridiculous. Like, who do you have on board with you that they're deciding that I'm just going to figure this out by calling someone else? You're all janitors, you know? You're all there to clean up messes. There's a mess, and you're trying to figure out which one of you should be cleaning it. I think sometimes we're like that in church, where we're saying, whose job is what? I can see the problem, and I can see it's difficult, and I can see I didn't get a proper smile at the door, and I can see that they didn't play the best musical instrument. I can see the preaching wasn't perfect, or I can see that this was an issue. I can see that that wall needs a fix, or that floor is chipping, or that light is out, or this. I can see all of those things. Now, who is going to deal with that? I'll tell you who's going to deal with that. The church. Who's the church? Every believer in Jesus Christ. Every believer in Jesus Christ is the church. We think, when are the staff going to deal with the problems at the church? Well, we grow, we double in a few years in a church, and now we still think the same volunteer team and same staff should be able to take care of this thing. If we grow, that's so God can not just have more people in here, but he can mobilize more people to take care of this and then move out into the city. God wants that for us. He wants you on team. He wants you serving with us. He wants you part of this. He wants you dreaming with us. I don't want to be like Moses and the Israelites twiddling our thumbs that we have people like Jethro coming and hearing about what once was at this church, and they're inspired enough to come and check it out. And then when they see it, they look and we're all just sort of backbiting and telling each other about what we don't like and trying to wait to see if the pastor might solve this issue. I'm just waiting for him to preach on what happens if someone mistreats me, because once he preaches on that, then I'll know what to do. Until that point, I guess God won't speak and I'll do nothing. It's like, come on, when do we just say we're going somewhere together? God's got purpose for us. Let's not be the Israelites twiddling our thumbs, telling stories of the past and living in nothing in the present. God's got purpose and plans and a future. I don't know if you've ever been to a church. I remember showing up to a few youth groups when I was a youth pastor. I show up there, I'm like, how's your youth group doing? Oh, we're doing great. 5 years ago, this guy gave his life to Jesus, and he was like a hard guy. He wasn't a good guy. No church background, zero church background. Parents weren't even nice. They were terrible, actually. And he gave his life to Jesus. I'm like, when was that? 5 years ago. So why are you telling me that story? It happened here, you know? And was that all God had for you? Like, what are you doing now? What's going on now? Are you serving here now? Are you dreaming here now? Dude, when people come into, they see a culture where everyone is fired up about the inspiration of the stories that are going on. Everyone's believing for more. Everyone's looking for what could happen next. Everyone's praying for someone to come to know Jesus. Everyone's welcoming people into their small group. Everyone's welcoming people on a Sunday morning. Everyone's pulling people in to try to reach them, to try to share the good news with them. Everyone is deciding that they can give a little bit more and get involved a little bit more and find a place that stretches them a little bit more and pulls them to Jesus a little bit more so that they might start to see the miraculous when God starts moving. Everyone, would everyone see that? Would anyone see that when they come in here? I pray they would. I pray that when someone comes in, they would know this church not only believes what God has done, but they believe what God is about to do so much that they're willing to get on board and serve on team to see it done. I guess I wonder, at what point do we move from listening to the story to living the story? At what point do we stop just listening to what's been done? We say, now it's time for us to take this thing over and run with it and believe for it and push ahead. We have a lot of places for you to serve on team. And we've done that so that you can find an easy access point. That it'd be easy for you to find a place that would fit you well. Now, today, my goal is that every person in here would feel compelled to write their name down on a spreadsheet and give us contact info so we can follow up with you. We've got a number of meetings planned in the next couple weeks. One of them, by the way, an adjustment on the guest service meeting next week is actually at 7 o'clock, not right after the second service. But we've already got guest service a team night planned. We've also got already got a worship team thing planned next Saturday. We've already got a kids team thing planned. We're gonna try to hit every one of these teams within the next month or two, so that if you sign up today, you can get more information then. But we also want to follow up with you this week. We want you to be on team. And this isn't just about that we're feeling like we're really short and we really wish we had more people. This is about us feeling like it's good for every single person to be connected with the mission of Jesus so much that they do something about it. And it's also good for us to have so many people that it compels us to say we can do more. We can reach further. We can accomplish greater. We can push to greater capacities. And I actually have, in the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear me give an announcement about that, which is really going to be exciting. And I want to share. But I want you to know that God's got something bigger for us. And right now, we're kind of cresting that first peak. And as we get to the top of that peak, we're going to be tempted just to look back and say, well, we've come pretty far, and that's awesome. But God is saying, what about that one? Let's go there. And we're going to start walking. We're going to start moving. And the big step to seeing the goals of God accomplished is that the roles of the people are carried out by us, and that we move the direction he wants us to move. So we're going to show you a little video that Kyle's put together for us. Has almost all of these teams speaking about them, team leaders speaking about them and sharing about some of them. And then right after that, we're just going to end the service. I'm going to encourage you to go and sign yourself up. At the bottom of this video, you'll be able to see the website for where you can sign up even right now. And signing up isn't making you a 10-year commitment. You know, it's not making you stick around forever. It's just you saying, I'm interested. I want to be involved. I love this church. I love Jesus. I want to figure out if I can make it work, even though I have kids, or even though I'm a single parent, or even though, you know, I have a busy schedule, or I'm shift worker or whatever. We want to try to make it work for you to be part of this team, because we think there's no better place for you to be. We also think that the Comox Valley needs this team to be strong, not like the Israelites waiting on one leader and everyone standing around, but more like the people of God moving into the destiny that he has for us, with all of us taking a little piece and running with it. Okay? Check out this video.
Video and media team here at Northgate. Our team is involved in all the video stuff that happens here at the church, whether sermons or live streaming or announcements or baptisms videos, we do it all. We also do all the lyrics on Sunday morning and anything that has to do with the computers in general. You don't necessarily need to be techie to be involved. Operating camera is a fairly simple thing, and it's really cool to take someone's story that's not able to spit it all out on stage if they have stage fright, but you can literally piece someone's story together, make this awesome video of it, and then put it online. And online, people can watch it for years to come and be affected from that, not only in the Comox Valley, but anywhere in the world. So it's a really cool ministry to be a part of. If you want to join, come join us on our team. We'd love to have you.
Hi, my name is Joelle, and I'm the family pastor here at Northgate Foursquare. I have the privilege of working with children and families 0 to grade 5. Our goal is that every child would walk away understanding 3 things. God made them, God loves them, and Jesus wants to be their friend forever. Everything that we teach is done through exciting games, activities, interactive play, and music, and obviously lots of laughter and fun. Whether you enjoy being right in there teaching, helping, or cuddling babies, or whether you maybe like being behind the scenes, helping with classroom prep materials, or scheduling, or administrative duties, there is a place here for you on our Northgate Kids team, and we want you to come and be a part of what God's doing in their lives.
Hi, I'm Pastor George. I oversee the Soup and Sandwich Ministry. It's an amazing ministry that we have had for about 20 years in the church. It consists of every Saturday where we are making a meal to feed those who are less fortunate. It's amazing because we get a chance to not only prepare but to feed and to feel like we honor and respect those who come into our building to do that. What's required to be on the team is no qualification, just the heart and desire to want to serve people. Kindness goes a long way, and just the willingness to not only serve but sometimes even sit down and partake in a meal with the folks that come. Gives the opportunity for you to get to know them, but also for them to feel like they're a part of what's taking place here in the church.
Hi, my name is Jan Alexander. I am involved with Common College at Foursquare Church, and our goal for the college is to provide a place for anybody to learn more about God's Word. In a volunteer opportunity, we are looking for instructors who have a familiarity with teaching adult learners, but have a lifetime passion for the Bible and full knowledge of the Bible, and a passion for teaching adults more about what God's Word is all about. You may not be totally ready to become an instructor at this time because the qualifications are fairly hefty, but if you want to be involved as a helper, an assistant, a host, that's another area that we will be looking for support in, volunteers for, and you could possibly grow into becoming an instructor. So we look forward to seeing you.
Hi, my name is Daniel, and I'm a pastor here at Northgate who oversees the internship program and the guest services department. My heart for guest services is to show radical hospitality. All throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see this push for Israel to become people who are actually hospitable to the widows and the orphans, who take care of the outcasts, who show love to the person who normally wouldn't feel at home with them. And I believe that as a church, we have the mandate and responsibility to do the same. So through Northgate's guest services department, we have this big push right now to get people involved and plugged in on team who are passionate about people, who want to make Northgate a welcoming environment to all, Sunday to Sunday, but they also embody it through the way they live their life. So if you're passionate about people and you call Northgate your home, come check out the guest services team, and we want you to get involved.
Hey everyone, my name's Alan, and I am the youth pastor here at Northgate. And our youth group is called Thrive Youth, and it's for grades 6 through 12. And we have a variety of small groups that happen from within that, but we all gather together on a Wednesday night. And our main goal of Thrive is to accomplish three things. We want students to connect with other students. Our second goal is that students would connect with leaders, with role models that they would have in their life that can encourage them and just help them along the journey of life and introduce them to who Jesus is. Which leads us to the third point, of course, and our third goal is that students would just come and they would discover who Jesus is, and they would make that decision to follow him with their lives. That's obviously the main goal there. So we understand that on our team, we want to make sure that we have a very diverse group of leaders as well, because someone who I connect with might not connect as well with another student that a different leader with different passions, with different interests, a different age category might connect with better. And so it takes anyone. The only thing we really want is that you would have a passion for young people, that you would have flexibility as working with young people sometimes requires, and that you just set aside that Wednesday night every week to come and be a part of changing students' lives.
Hi, I'm Karen Yusupiewicz, and I am the Director of Worship here at Northgate Foursquare Church. Northgate Worship exists to glorify Jesus and draw every person into authentic, life-giving worship experience. We want people to feel relaxed, inspired, and comfortable from the minute the first song is played. If you are an experienced musician or vocalist and you're passionate about worship and you see the value in a worship experience, we want to have you as part of our team.
Hi, I am Pastor George, and I oversee the Free Store Ministry. As in the name, it is a free store. In other words, all the clothing that is in the store are free to the community. We love the opportunity to be able to serve our community by opening the doors of our free store so people can come and take what's needed, and it's helped so many families within our community. We would love for you to consider being on this team. What is required? There is no qualification to be on this team, just the willingness to want to come and serve a larger community than what you've already involved in. So it's amazing how you can come and help with that team, and people really appreciate what we offer, and it's a great opportunity for you to serve the community in this way.
Hi, my name is Andrew. I am the leader of the Sound and Lighting Ministry here at Northgate. And our group of technicians, we always strive to create an atmosphere for the congregation to, you know, to help them move into worship. As lighting designers and, you know, sound engineers, we're always wanting to emphasize what needs to be emphasized, but as well as not pulling attention away or causing distraction from the real reason that we're here, and that's to keep, you know, our eyes and our mind on Jesus. we're always looking at new equipment, new ways to develop all these different, you know, experiences that we can bring to the people of the church, but also just be able to bring our best works to God on a daily and a weekly basis. You know, we're always looking for volunteers that are just, you know, eager to learn, have a keen eye for technology, and just want to be a part of something bigger at Northgate. And it's, you know, serving in the sound and lighting industry is a great way to just be a part of it all and be able to, you know, see what's happening on a Sunday and be a part of what's happening.
So there it is. Good job, Kyle. Way to go, Kyle. What we all have to decide is whether we think the church, the greatest church, mission of the church is for us, or if it's for those who don't yet know Jesus. And my heart is that it's for them. We are the tools in His hand, and we're meant to serve. He called us to be a servant of all. So I just want to encourage you to do that. You have the opportunity to sign up. There's paper applications out there. You can sign up online. If you feel like you don't have time, at least get your name and number down on a spreadsheet. The representatives are now going to head out to the lobby. Chat with someone about it, learn more about it, discover a little bit where you fit. We want you here. We want you part of the team so that you, one, feel part of the team, and two, so we can go further and make a greater impact in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Have a great week. See you next week.